This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, it is Lee Treelin alongside Kelvin Yee and Ayman Rashad. Coming up, we're going to be talking about how we can integrate tech into schools.
And as always, you can join the conversation. Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. All this coming up on Evening Edition.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:05 in the evening with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin. And our story this hour is actually about something that I think we've been talking about quite a lot, especially in whenever we kind of try to talk about the ways in which we want to improve our education system, in which we want to improve our infrastructure when it comes to schools, different learning methods. One of the things that consistently comes up, aside from IR 4.0, although it falls under that, is technology, right? Like, how do we introduce technology into schools since we are talking about educating digital natives? These are people who walk up to TVs and try to swipe. So we kind of wanted to explore that in a little bit more detail. And thankfully, Kelvin actually recently kind of went off to India and did a little story on this.
Yeah, so we were invited by Microsoft to the 2019 Asia Summit for Education and Skills. It was held in Bangalore, India. The focus this year was heavily on AI and education, and also a focus on tech, right? So more so on how schools of all levels can use it and how it will impact education.
Yeah, and before we got on air, we were talking about this study that Microsoft did on AI and education as well.
Yeah, so Microsoft Asia and IDC Asia Pacific released this report called Future Ready Business, Assessing Asia Pacific's Growth with AI. So as the title suggests, they looked at how each country's education institutions and systems are using and are being affected by AI.
So, as you know, what tends to happen in these situations is whenever there's a report, everyone just wants to know who's on top, where's Malaysia, did we make top 10, did we make top 5?
Exactly. And I asked that very question to Larry Nelson, the Regional General Manager of Education at Microsoft Asia, and this is what he said.
I don't know that I would say anyone's ahead or behind. I think AI is so new and there's certainly so much happening that there's opportunity across the board. And as I travel around the region and as I talk to my colleagues in other parts of the world as well, certainly the interest and the opportunity for AI in education is universal. It's of high demand, of high interest. And certainly the research that we shared and kind of launched today reflects that in terms of the interest, the expectations for how AI can help. In higher ed in particular. And so I would say it's an even playing field in that regard.
You know what? I feel like that was a bit of a safe answer.
Yeah, I'd almost prefer hearing him say, well, Malaysia, not great.
Yeah, me too. But I think what he was trying to get at is that we're all kind of at different speeds now and comparing it might not be a fruitful conversation. Mm-hmm. For example, two similar institutions in one country might have different levels of AI adoption or they might not even be there yet, right? They could just be starting with simpler stuff for now. For example, just giving homework online instead of through physical textbooks.
You know, we do want to hear from you about how you would like to see tech integrated into schools, as well as how you are seeing tech integrated into schools if you have school-going kids, right? Like, how is that differing from how you got homework or how you learned when you were in school? What would you like to see? Tell us what you think. You can call us at 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. So coming back to this, I think what we're seeing is that different institutions end up adopting tech and AI for different purposes, right? So some, for example, I can imagine would be like administrative purposes, you know, for example, chatbots to kind of get queries out there about the school or to answer queries that people are posing. Or they might use it to help their students, you know, making learning a more personalized experience.
Yep. So Larry said that some schools are already actually doing the latter. He gave examples of how that's taking form and how tech is improving the education experience for kids.
Kind of change your lens, maybe your thought process around what you think personalized learning is or isn't. If we think about it in terms of just, you know, helping students are meeting students where they are or helping them learn in ways that are unique or specific to their needs as a student. There are tremendous examples all around the board. But in particular, one that we're very excited about and very proud of, and that the customers around the globe are responding very strongly to in a positive way, are the learning tools that we make available today through OneNote. So to the extent that they can help a student with dyslexia or other reading challenges. I mean, I mentioned a couple times earlier today how we have videos that make me cry when I watch, you know, and listen to how students have responded so positively to how the learning tools have broken down barriers that they had around being able to read in classroom. For a student with dyslexia that, you know, kind of shunned away from that or felt ostracized potentially about not being able to read in classroom, having those learning tools in OneNote break up the words into syllables or, you know, highlight and separate the text in ways that make it more easy for them to read, getting them excited about reading as a result of that, are phenomenal things that exist today. Now, beyond that, you know, how AI can be used to do personalized learning in ways that a lot of people think about, adaptive learning, stuff like that. Yes, you know, there are ways to do that. I think I shared the example of the school down in Australia that has built into Teams a way in which it's tracking the messaging that's going on across the thousands of students that are exchanging information and collaborating on that platform, ways to actually detect, you know, questions that are being left unanswered and actually created a chatbot that can then actually help respond to those questions so that students can keep on track and not get sidetracked in ways and left off track until someone can actually reach out to them. It's using AI to actually help keep them along ahead of pace.
So just on that note, I wanted to know what then it would take for AI and tech to be successfully integrated into schools.
I think a notion, looking again at that research and kind of looking at those six main areas of readiness, are key. And I think, you know, it was interesting to me that the data category in particular was the one that was kind of furthest behind. I think schools, education, higher ed institutions in particular, in many cases, have such an array of silos of information that have been collected by professors or departments or systems or what have you, that thinking proactively about creating the right governance policies, et cetera, and structures to enable the ability to utilize that data more effectively across the institution will gain potential in ways that aren't possible if you don't do that. So I think that's the kind of thing one to drive. Thing two certainly is around culture and having a culture, data, and transformation, and being aware that, you know, whenever we're talking about change like that, it's almost always a people thing. So think about ways in which you could actually support and drive the change management around that. But I think ultimately it depends on how you're going to use it.
That was Larry Nelson, the Regional General Manager of Education at Microsoft Asia. And I think he made a good point where basically if you really want to drive any sort of change, right, it's always a people thing, that it must be people-centered.
I wonder if it also needs to be people-led, right? Because I think if that's the case, then what we're going to see is a little bit of a generational problem. Because like I said, we are dealing with digital natives when it comes to students. And many of us either are that, but sort of early gen, or we straddle that line where, you know, we didn't necessarily grow up with computers.
Yeah.
And so I think when you look at something like, for example, what's come through from Raj on WhatsApp saying schools should really have basic programming as a subject, or even IR 4.0 awareness talks, I 100% agree with that. But I do think that you're going to run into capital issues, into human resource issues, right? Where do we have enough people who are adequately trained with the adequate knowledge to do that, you know? And so I agree. I really like the sound of it being people-led. I hope there are enough people to do it.
Yeah, actually, speaking of people, I met two school principals from India who did manage to do just that, right? They managed to introduce and integrate tech into their schools. And what's important to point out is the fact that they're both semi-rural schools.
Which is something that comes up, right?
Yeah, yeah. Especially in the local context. So I had a chat with them about how they managed to do that. Let's first hear from Sajita Bharati, principal of the Titan School, and how she started.
First step we have to do is see that the hardware is in place. See that your computers and your networks are in place, whether your internet connectivity is in place. So I think without that, there's going to be a big struggle and challenge and nothing will move. So the initial planning is the hardware part of it. You have to keep your servers in place. It calls for a little bit of planned investment, but it will help you. Then comes the teacher exploring. I think it should be very explorative.
So I asked her what she meant by explorative, because that's an interesting term that's not usually associated here. And this is what she said.
Well, we took it at a very, you know, at a slow pace. We had a demonstration with the teachers first. So it's important that, you know, you take them into confidence. So maybe they were very much at ease, but there was a little bit of, you know, support and hands-on holding that was needed. So what we did, we plunged into a lot of training for the teachers, letting them explore without giving them actually any deliverables. So we said, this is the path. If you do this, it's going to be very nice, and explore. And what I made very sure was, I said, those of you who are interested in technology, please try it. And those of you who are not, it's okay. It's fine not to be. But what happened, because of this sort of a hand-holding and this sort of a, I saw near 100% compliance moving towards technology. So that's what happened.
But I also wanted to know what were the implementation challenges she faced. And I think she pointed out that, and as you mentioned, Lynn, the age and mindset were actually factors.
Well, you know, honestly, the younger generation of the teacher, there was not too much of a struggle at all. Maybe a little older in age. What has happened is they are so much trained in their particular methods. So maybe that challenge was more in the head than in the skill. So that's for that particular reason, I said there's not. You don't have to take the pressure. If it's okay not to use technology too. But then, because the entire culture of the school became a technology school, and there were a lot of support structures, you know, people helping each other, peer support or specialist support. So in that process, the challenges were overcome by just support. If there was a challenge, you know, we couldn't have moved forward since there was no support. And then I should say one more thing. Microsoft helped us in a big way. They gave us support I think it was enormous and totally free of cost. I mean, that was the beauty of it. Our teachers were trained, we were trained, we were invited to conferences. You know, the kind of non-pressure teamwork that was happening, I think it helped a lot.
Sajitha is a woman after my own heart, really. I really like the gentleness of her approach, the idea of, you know, don't make it a deliverable at first. You know, it's just something that you try out and it's something that you're given room to explore. But I wonder whether that's something that would work in our country, where I think there is a desperation, honestly, for people to see an improvement within our education system. And I don't know, whenever we talk about introducing anything into schools, there is always this point about, well, how will it have impact? What is the deliverable? So I wonder then whether we can actually take this learning on board and create that sense of exploration, because I do feel like it's very high stakes. You know, it's like we've invested, we've put the money in. Where are the returns? And perhaps that can sometimes hinder us from being able to try things out.
Yeah, especially I think for teachers, right, if they are especially included into their KPIs, that might be a problem if they feel like, oh, well, this is a burden as a KPI. And then having on top of that, having to deal with so much administrative work, because we've also constantly seen that that was one main reason as to why they didn't even think about approaching tech. They think, well, okay, this is just another thing I have to do now.
So, you know, we want to hear from you about, I think, really anything to do with integrating tech into schools. But about this in particular, I'd be curious to know. I mean, if we're introducing tech or AI into our schools, whether it's in the syllabus or in the infrastructure, are you okay if it's sort of on an experimental, try it out, explore kind of basis? Or do we need absolutely to be able to see those returns? You know, do we need a concrete goal right from the start, or is a bit of exploration okay? Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
So I mentioned two principals. On the other hand, we have Uma Srinivasan. She's the principal of the Ashok Leland School. Her institution found their first step through mentorship.
Many teachers do look forward to equipping themselves with tech skills. And we started in a very phased manner. We gave the teachers who were already having a computer science background, they kick-started the program. And then we had mentorship. So some of the teachers who had the tech expertise mentored other teachers to become confident first with technology, and then start adapting and using the tools in the classroom. Also, nominating themselves to be a Microsoft in education expert, that built a platform for them to update their technology skills. And there were certain features that were introduced as a part of the technology program, which facilitated or enabled even teachers who were not so comfortable with keying in or typing or understanding the technology tools that well. It made it easy. For example, the dictate made it easy for them to type, say it. They did not have to type it, actually. So we kept exploring on the tools. That there was a team that kept exploring and mentoring the other teachers.
So we just heard from Uma Srinivasan, who's the principal of the Ashok Leland School. And we're talking today about integrating technology and AI into schools, taking lessons from India, really, but also looking and, you know, wanting to hear from you about how it could be applied here. We've been focusing on teachers. Up next, we're going to talk a little bit more about students and parents. That's coming your way after this on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It's 7:21. It's 7:21. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, Ayman, and Kelvin. And today we're kind of going through a story that Kelvin's brought back from us from his one of his, I think, a fairly recent trip actually to India, talking about things surrounding education and technology.
So our conversation so far is pretty much focused on teachers and how ready they were for integrating tech into education. But what about the students and their parents?
Right. And in the Ashok Leland School, the students first took it as, just something fun to have. But that eventually changed. Here's Uma Srinivasan, principal of that school, talking about it.
No, initially it was more of fun, but now they understand the value that the concept of integration is bringing into, and rather than only listening to the teacher, they are actually channelizing and they are leading the classroom, so they like it a lot more. And often it's a group work, it's a collaboration, so they like being with their peers and working on it.
Right, so as expected, the kids really weren't the challenge.
Yeah, and actually the other stakeholder that required a bit more convincing, as you said, Ayman, was the parents. There was some doubt at first about the purpose of integrating tech. They found that they were asking questions like, how is this different from a computer class? Is this just for fun? So the teachers and principals there had to get the parents' buy-in, and both principals approached it differently. Here's Uma again on her angle.
Initially, they did not understand why our children were using technology, because they only looked at computer science as one more subject like the other core subjects. But when they realized, we started sharing these pictures and videos with parents on a regular frequency. And they started to talk about it with their children. And when these children passed out of school and went to college, they understood the advantage that they had over other students, how this helped them work easily. So they became our ambassadors.
And here's Sajita of the Titan School with her approach.
Technology right now is everywhere. So what happened is, we had some formal meetings with the parents. I addressed the parents that we are moving towards technology. The methodology will be using technology in school. So I think it you have to direct it to the parent in transparent ways and take them into confidence. You know, they should be a part of you. So everybody should be on the same side, then it moves.
That was Sajita Bharati, principal of the Titan School. And earlier you heard from Uma Srinivasan, the principal of the Ashok Leland School. So I guess the takeaway here is that you really need someone to be an agent of change. And for that, you need vision and you need commitment.
And you also need support, right? Because I think one agent of change kind of forging ahead looks like a mad person. You need everyone else to kind of buy in on it. And the two principals really had to work together with teachers and with parents.
Yep, exactly. And I was actually also a bit curious about Malaysia. One common obstacle here is of infrastructure. The two schools in India had their own infra challenges as well, being in semi-rural areas. I posed this as a question on Malaysia's condition to Alexa Joyce, Future Ready Skills Lead, EMEA at Microsoft Education. She said the key is actually adaptation.
They've come up with ways to adapt to having lower access. I think they've obviously got a reasonable amount of connectivity. There's a base level that you need to have to make things work in a digital world. But they've obviously gone for an approach where students have an individual online identity, but then they're sharing devices. And this means that more students can get the opportunity to be hands-on with technology, with the devices that they have in the computer labs or in mobile laptop carts you also see in other schools that are trying to adapt to a low device availability scenario. But I think also what's important is not to forget that many students have access to mobile phones. So you can reinforce some of the learning that you've done on a laptop or on a desktop PC or a tablet through using the mobile phone to kind of reinforce some of the learning afterwards.
But Malaysia has several strengths too when it comes to implementing and integrating tech in schools. Here's Alexa again.
I think what's interesting in Malaysia is that for the region, you have, I would say, more experience than perhaps some of the neighboring countries in implementing smart schools and digital approaches to technology. So some of the models are there and there's some awareness which is there. So we've been able to build on that capacity that you have within the country by bringing in our programs, the Showcase School program that also exists in Malaysia. We have Showcase Schools there, as well as what we call Microsoft Schools, which is kind of the layer two of the engagement that we have with schools. So there may be schools who are not yet leading in the country, but they're on their way and want to continuously improve. And we also support them through our programs. And we also work extensively now on issues connected to connectivity, also around skills, not just for the education leaders and teachers themselves, but also thinking about how we can partner with governments on skilling up as well, because that's a critical part of making sure that technology works across the system, is also having the right capacity across the government to be able to respond to digital transformation.
You just heard Alexa Joyce, Future Ready Skills Lead, EMEA at Microsoft Education. And, you know, we've been asking you for your thoughts. We have this from Atlas, who says, I think exploring is probably more productive if you have the right human capital, like young teachers who are investing the effort to learn. Personally, I used Python scripts to automate writing student testimonials. And as a result, I was able to write 30 testimonials in minutes.
And I guess just having fun with that, right? It's an essential key here, because if you tie in too much, if it's too results driven, it kind of gets lost sometimes in the whole process of wanting to learn.
Yeah, and we also have this message here from Y.
Unlikely we are going backward from wanting to become a digital society back to paper-based teaching. It's never too early to expose the kids to technology. Instead, it'll only help to prepare them for the society in the future. The only challenge is to expose to children rationally, not excessively.
Yes, I think that's hugely important. And last message here from Cheong, who says, 1. Build the hardware, internet, network, computer, projector. Mm-hmm. 2. Empower the best crop of our teachers, past and present, to build a library of YouTube syllabuses. 3. Quality teaching would then be available to all schools, both teachers and students, which I think is quite a lovely idea. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.